guesting every week. Louis van Gaal's Army! Louis van Gaal's Army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing?
Feeling fine, ready to break down one of the easier matches we have coming up. Watford away.
Easier? They're top three, sir.
A little sarcasm, sir. It's been an international break, bored out of my mind. In the States, we've had NFL kick up, so I was supporting the New York Giants. Unfortunately, they lost, but we're not going to go into that too much.
Mourinho took a spill. A Liverpool fan tried to mock me today for it, and I reminded them of someone who took a spill on their side a couple years ago. So, Steven Gerrard took a much more meaningful spill than
the one
Mourinho did over the weekend. But either way, it's been a long week and a half since EPL. I'm ready for it to come back. How about you?
Very pumped to see Manchester United back. Great England match. Luke Shaw featuring amazing assist to Marcus Rashford, who finished easy as you like. Unfortunately, Luke Shaw picked up an injury. Kind of scary moment. It looked like he got knocked out by the Spanish, I want to say.
Carvajal,
yeah. It was a coming together of sorts, and Shaw just didn't see him out of the corner of his eye, and I think it was an elbow that got him. But again, Luke Shaw in great form, then an injury. I mean, we've seen this before, deja vu.
We have. Last time seemed to be a lot worse. I mean, head injuries are always scary. You never know how it's going to affect a player long term, but he seems to be okay. He should be back in the fold for the game after the Watford game, so we're all hoping for Luke Shaw, because right now he's a lot more dangerous. We're a lot more dangerous with him starting than we are without him.
Yeah, but that link up between, if you haven't seen it, get on the internet machine, YouTube, Twitter, amazing pass from Luke Shaw, basically almost worth a goal, that type of pass, curling in behind the defense to Marcus Rashford, who finishes it. And great things to see England, the young players starting, as well as the young Manchester United players featuring for England. And what's crazy is those players are playing for England, but those two players don't really start together at Manchester United. So
they haven't traditionally.
Weird times.
But Mourinho's face, I think he's got more to think about after that.
That was an excellent reaction.
Rashford doesn't often play up front with a front two, right? He usually plays alone or on the wing. And he looked really good with Kane, so he could have had a hat trick in this game if it wasn't for the fact that he was playing against the best goalkeeper in the world. But maybe a little bit of something to think about for Mourinho to play Lukaku and Rashford up front. You got two good strikers there, so we'll see what happens with that.
Hey, dial it back to the old 4-4-2. But we are here to break down the Watford match. Let's jump right in. It is Saturday, the 15th of September at Vicarage Road, Watford versus Manchester United. And United have won just one of their last three games in the English Premier League. So time to bounce back. Sorry, we need 3 points. It's a big away fixture. Watford has come out of the gate hot. They've started the season undefeated, similar to us last year. 4 wins out of 4 in the EPL. And they currently sit third with 12 points. You nervous?
Sir, it's an important game for us. It's not City. It's not Liverpool. It's not Chelsea. But Watford's a good team. They play well at home. And they've got wind underneath their wings, bro, because they're off to a flying start. Won their last 5 games beyond, in the FA Cup as well. So we need a big performance away. We got to bring the same momentum we did at Burnley. This is a much better team than we played at Burnley, but we got to win, sir. It's a must win.
Well, they're in form, and they seem up for the challenge. Coming back from international break is always a gamble. I want to say we did the same thing Watford did last season. We won 4, went to international break undefeated, and then we came back, and I believe was it Swans that got us? There was a game that we dropped points right after the international break. Hopefully our players come back stronger. Obviously, we're without Luke Shaw, so you'll probably see Ashley Young slot in. And I just don't have a good feeling about this one. My gut says Watford's ready. Watford smells blood. They're ready to take us.
Well, they're going to think that points are up for grabs, right? They don't want to drop any points. They want to keep the perfect run, the perfect start to the season going. But we need to make, it's a big game for us because we have to show that we are a contender, and the contender does not drop points to Watford away, bro.
Yeah, we are a contender and in 10th place with 6 points. So anything short of 3 points here, it's going to be alarm bells going off in all the papers around Manchester. If you
already
can
are, sir. They already are.
Hey, but all time against Watford, we have won 20, drawn 5, lost 5. So based on that record, what are you worried about?
We've also won the last 14 of 15 games played against Watford. So we always talk about having a team's number. We have their number recently, but now we got to step up because this is probably the best Watford team we've played in a while, probably ever.
And yeah, if you have the chance, Watford has a great ground. They have some an amazing gravy latte as well.
Delicious.
We went, yeah.
Delicious.
Last season, Vicarage we got Road. To check out Watford. Elton John's club, right, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think we sat in the Elton John's stand, if I remember
correctly.
Go.
Yeah, exactly.
And we had a delicious burger at a pub right outside. Seemed like good, wholesome fans for the most part. But you know what? They're going to be in full voice when the United away fans come down to Northwest London looking for a battle.
And a battle they will have. First game we ever played against Watford was an FA Cup match in 1950, and we won that 1-0. So come on, you Reds. United won 4-2 in the same fixture last year. So if history is any guide, we should be Merkin Watford. Place your bets.
Ashley Young had a brace in that game last year. I don't know if you remember that, but
it's been a while.
It's been a while. He's probably going to get the start with Shaw out injured with a concussion. Sir, you see him for another brace? Another brace away at Watford?
We shall see. Like you said, segueing into the injuries, Shaw is out with that concussion he sustained against the Spanish side in a friendly. Hopefully back in 2 weeks. Dalot is now training with the U21s, so he might feature. I would be very excited to see Dalot play against Watford, although it seems it might be too much of a task for him to jump right in against Watford. What do you think?
For 19, and the guy, yeah, like
people are speculating.
Eight seniors. I mean, the fact that Shaw's out, maybe, right? Maybe punt him on left wing, because he can play, do a job left wing, have Valencia at right. But I think
Sir Alex would have given him, like, you sub him in the 75th minute.
Sub out Young. Right, yeah, I agree with that. I don't think we're going to see him start, because if he was a 25-year-old that was a starter at his previous club forever, then that's one thing. But he's a young kid still. We got to temper our expectations because the lot, it's not only young, he's coming to the Premier League from Portuguese League. So he's going to take some time.
Rojo, unknown return. Come on, Rojo, get back. And Romero, same thing. Expected unknown return. It was his knee. That's the reason why he's out. So not too many injuries going into this game, but a big injury in Luke Shaw because he is in form, and we just look like a different team with him bombing down the left wing, especially playing with in combination with Sanchez. So that was a deadly combination in the last few matches.
And sir, one other player that's not on this list that's unavailable is, of course, Marcus Rashford because of his red card in the previous game. So he is unavailable for selection for the next two games. So maybe
Rashford is red.
Rashford is red. Rashford gets red.
Rashford is dead. All right, jumping in the lineup. Last time United were out, it was the 4-3-3. Like I said, Sanchez and Luke Shaw bombing down the left-hand wing looked great. Lindelof and Smalling held it together a little bit, but Fellaini did a great job. You think we're going to see the big tree starting at Watford, sir? What do you think your starting 11 is going
to
be here?
Sir, I'm calling one change to the lineup we saw at Burnley. I'm going to same back, you know, we have De Gea, of course, Valencia, Smalling, Lindelof, no Shaw, he's unavailable, so Ashley Young, your boy Ashley Young slots in there. Same midfield three of Matic, Fellaini, and Pogba, with Fellaini coming, you know, short up the back with his two question marks and Lindelof and Smalling. And then I think you stick with the front three we saw at Burnley, Sanchez, Lukaku, Lingard, bring in Martial off the bench, maybe in the 60th minute. That should be able to do the job, bro.
I have to agree with you there. The only player I could see getting a sniff might be Herrera instead of Fellaini. I do think Jose is going to be playing some negative tactics given how successful Watford has been. I do think that with Fellaini in the midfield, it's kind of setting the tone. He does provide good cover, but I'd much rather see a Fred or Herrera in for Fellaini in the midfield. So maybe I'll call it De Gea, Ashley Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Valencia, Matic, Fred, Pogba, Lingard, Lukaku, Sanchez. And don't forget about Juan Mata, the special one. Maybe he could slot in. But again, I think Jose wants Lingard to be the regular there. It's a shame if Rashford wasn't suspended. I would love to see him and Lukaku up top in a two. Maybe going back to the 4-4-2, the old school days, the winning ways. Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sir, we won with a lot of formations, but It starts with a big win away. Watford's a hot team. Everyone thinks we're shit. Let's prove them wrong, bro.
This is a really tough test. Brighton away shouldn't have been a tough test. It turned out to be. Tottenham at home, you know, dropping points against Spurs, not a big deal. But if we lose this match, Watford away, and we have 6 points out of 5 matches, and I would have to think we'd be, what, 12th, 13th in the table? Starting to look like Chelsea 2.0, third season syndrome for Jose. What do you think? Are people going to be asking for Jose out? Is Jose the reason that we're doing so poorly, or is it just a bad coming together after the World Cup, some drama with your star player, and you know things weren't clicking, and obviously the summer transfer window, everyone rated an F-. So, I mean, who's to blame? And you know, there's too much on this game right now. I don't think the team can handle the pressure.
There's plenty of blame to go around. I think this team can handle the pressure because it's just Watford, for Christ's sake.
It's away though. We couldn't handle it.
Brighton away, we couldn't handle it. But to me, that's a different part of the season. Stepped up at Burnley. That Burnley team didn't have much doing, but
bad Burnley away versus good Watford away.
So this could be a much better test, but we have to be able to win this game. So it's like, it's important for the team for points, it's important for the team for momentum, and it's important for the team for public sentiment, you know, between the fans and the press. They need to string together some wins, right, and just get some momentum so it papers over all the negative controversy, all the Pogba shit that's not going away because Pogba won't let it go away. We need a victory, and we need it against Watford, and we need to beat every team until we play Chelsea in October, and that should be the immediate priority.
Yeah, and obviously we got Champions League coming up, we got Wolves, we got the League Cup, and West Ham waiting for us September 29th. So it gets a little friendlier post-Watford, right? We have a week, young boys. Wolves should be easy to steamroll.
Derby at home.
League Cup, you know.
West Ham's the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And then Valencia is not an easy team, but you're playing them at home. You got to win that game and get points there. And then I think if I'm right, do we play Chelsea after that game?
I believe we do. And the one thing I'm going to say is if we lose this match, are you Jose out? I think that's...
Like I said, it depends on the matter of the defeat if we were to lose, right? If it's negative tactics, if we hear a lot of grumblings after the fact from Mourinho, if he's blaming his players. Sort of depends. Not every loss is the same, and not every win is the same.
Hey, if we do shit in the league and we look great in Champions League, you know, that's a whole different story. So we have a lot of competitions here. Not melting down yet, but 6 points from 5 matches would be, I would say, almost critical.
It'd be bad stuff. So that's why
fans would be very upset. I do think it'd be testy for the board, and the media would be all over United. The season wouldn't, I mean, it's not done, but it's going down south pretty fast. And
if that was to happen, you're speculating that we lose this game. So
I'm just saying, this is
a huge game.
Like, you know, Burnley was a huge game, right? This is a huge game. So, you know, you make your bed, and Watford away is a must win. Watford's away is a must win. So as a fan, I'm a little nervous. I'm confident. If you look at the team and the roster, I'm very confident. But given the form and how we've been doing playing away and how that defense has been playing without Fellaini helping them out, I'm a little concerned.
Well, that's what I think you're going to see Fellaini features, because I don't think Mourinho trusts his defense to be able to keep a clean sheet away without his big boy at the back.
All right. That being said, score prediction, sir. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a close one. I'm calling 2-1 United with a victory.
Whew. I could see us stealing it 1-0, getting a clean sheet. Dave saves. Definitely going to have to make a few saves. More than a few to keep us in it. Hopefully an exciting match, one that I really do wish Mourinho doesn't park the bus.
Just 3 points, bro. As long as we get the win, I'd love to see some positive tactics. Love to see some goals and some, you know, some adventurous attacking. But it's all about a win now.
And it's also another question about Mourinho. His last season, he didn't play conservatively until we played Liverpool. And it was because we were doing so well that he decided to park the bus against Liverpool. So maybe coming from behind, does Jose just risk it all and just go for broke? It seems to be what he's trying to do.
He's got nothing to lose at this point, right?
You got to win at Watford, so if that's anything, I'll be the first to slate him if he parks the bus.
Dude, he's only went for it Spurs. Home to Spurs. That wasn't our day. And he went for it against
Herrera,
Burnley.
Playing center back.
That's not going to help. But anyway, Watford's another day, bro. So Saturday, it's all about that game for United fans around the world.
All right, boys. We got some tweets of the week. At @Vintage_United. Just realized that Marcus Rashford has scored on his Europa League debut, Premier League debut, Manchester Derby debut, UEFA Youth League debut, England debut, England U21 debut, EFL Cup debut, UEFA Champions League debut, and now his UEFA Nations League debut. Hashtag baller. Marcus Rashford is red. He is unreal making debuts. Unfortunately, I don't think there's many other debuts he can make. So Rashford just got to start stepping up on a consistent basis.
Dude, that's the one thing that's missing from his game. But he's a 20-year-old striker with the world at his feet, all potential in the world, playing for the greatest club in the world. Dude, he's going to be – I think he has all the potential to be a legend.
You can't win anything with kids, sir.
A lot of – that's what they say. If you're good enough, you're old enough. All the pundits are telling him to leave, right? Not getting enough playing time. Alan Shearer came out today and said he has to leave. I think that's bogus, bro. He's getting plenty of exposure at United. He's getting plenty of minutes. He got tons of minutes last year. If you actually cut through the bullshit and look at the stats.
Yeah, but he is on the wing, and I do agree that him playing in a two would be much better, and he'd probably look better for United. I just don't think – it's kind of a merry-go-round with Martial and Rashford and Lingard kind of out on the wing. He didn't do well. He hasn't come off playing on the right wing, sir. And I know he's a great talent. Under LVG, he did very well. Scored a bunch of critical goals, but I think he has to be the main man. He has to be the guy up top. And
he's not going to take Lukaku's spot, bro.
No, he's not going to take Lukaku, but playing off Lukaku, right?
Yeah, I think
pure striker role.
I think after the game that he had with Kane against Spain, you would have likely seen him and Lukaku start this game against Watford up front, maybe with Sanchez behind as the 10 if he was available for selection. But I don't know. You just based on Mourinho's face when that happened. He did play well together all game.
Yeah, it's all about getting him in behind, having him go one-on-one with defenders, but him coming off the wing just hasn't really worked as much as you would have liked, sir. So there is something to be said for Rashford not slotting in that well under Mourinho at United versus when he was playing in a more traditional number nine role. The next tweet is actually a quote from Paul Pogba. This wouldn't be a podcast without Pog drama. Quote, to speak about a transfer, ... I'm under contract. There have always been little things with the coach. Our relationship is still the same. Manager, player. So long as you see that I'm not in a Barcelona shirt, that is because I'm at United. Hashtag MUFC. And this is from Telefoot. So Pogba speaking about transfers, obviously international break. That's when he goes back to France and he looks like he's the happiest player in the world on social media and does a bunch of interviews and tells everyone that, you know, he's at United until the end of the year and discusses going to Barcelona, sir. So why doesn't Paul Pogba keep his mouth shut?
Sir, this is not the only quote, I believe, that's happened between
last
game.
There was more. I just don't want to put all of them in. Just the whole concept here is Pogba yipping.
He won't stop talking. Talking about how, like, who knows what's going to happen in the future. I'm a player right now, but we'll see. Sir, it's not great, man. And I'll tell you what. There's camps, right? You love Pogba, hate Mourinho, love Mourinho, hate Pogba, hate both of them, love
both
of them.
Why do you love Pogba? What has he done for United?
I'm just talking, there are certain people.
No, I'm arguing.
I know. I'm just saying is, like, this is not helping because all he's been doing is stirring the pot for the last 10 days. Since the transfer window is closed, he's been stirring the pot nonstop while Mourinho, in a change of face, has, like, taken the high road again and again. Like, almost unbelievably so, he keeps taking the high road. So I don't really understand what Pogba's doing. I think he's really trying to force a move through, maybe trying to get out in January. But this is also a little bit of a Barca thing. Barca's like pretty classless in when they pursue players, right? They did it with Coutinho.
No, it's a Raiola thing as well.
It is.
It's an English press
thing.
Seems
to be a Pogba thing as well now, right? Pogba, like...
Name another player on our team that's currently talking to the media about speculation on whether or not he's going to leave Manchester United.
Maybe. I mean, even he...
He's not said anything to the media.
Not like this.
He's never...
His manager says... And his manager, his agent says something.
Yeah, his agent says something, but he never said anything, right? The fact that Pogba is just... He can't just leave it be. After he was given the armband, he came out and said, I can't say what I want, otherwise I'm going to get fined. His agent was hitting the press. Like, you know that he has Pogba's permission to go to the press and say that Barcelona wants him. Pogba, every chance he could put this to bed, he always speaks. And it's something... It's a new player, sir. This is the future of football. Pogba does not want to keep his mouth shut. He doesn't have the respect for the club and the fans. Anyone who knows the way to deal with this is to just not say anything. If you want to go to Barcelona, go to Barcelona. But right now, you have to be a Manchester United player. You can't be saying things like this to the press. You got to keep your head down. And you force through a move next summer if that's what you want. And I wouldn't hate on him, but the fact that he's distracting himself, the team, the manager, the press, it's just too much to deal with, especially when we have 6 points out of 4 games. This is not what we need right now, and he needs to be our best player.
Sure, we built a team around him. Mourinho put a lot of faith in him. He's not dismissing any of the rumors. He's not doing anything to kind of build that team unity that is so essential when you're going through a rough patch, when your back is against the wall. We need to band together as a unit.
He doesn't care, dude.
He showing that he's kind of showing his class, bro, and the lack of it.
Some people said, oh, these quotes were taken out of context, right? And I do understand that point of view. He didn't necessarily say, I'm going to Barcelona. He just said, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in my future, which is... That's an honest statement. It's not anything too incendiary, but given that you're a player at Manchester United and the way that you talk about these things, it's almost he's like flirting with it too much, and he won't let it be. He won't let the speculation die down. He always readdresses it, and that is the number one thing in Pogba. And why, you know, I think that Mourinho probably wanted to deal him and the board wouldn't. And the board is starting to see what happens when you have a player who doesn't want to play your team. And I understand, like, the Ronaldo saga was, he wanted to go to Madrid. De Gea even wanted to go to Madrid. But did De Gea ever come out?
Nope.
Did he ever say anything about Madrid? Did he ever?
But Ronaldo didn't act this way, dude. You know?
No, he didn't.
There was shit with his agent over the summer.
He won the Champions League at United as well. He won the league title. A handful of times.
Yeah, he
was our all-star, and he wanted to leave. And at that point, you clap him out of the door because you say, hey, great job.
He earned it. You can go wherever you want. Go to Real Madrid and be the best player of all time. No problem.
Pogba came back to United, hasn't done shit. And then he wins the World Cup. And like I said, I was worried about him winning the World Cup because it goes straight to the dome. He had a few games in the World Cup, and now he thinks he's bigger than United, doesn't need the team to succeed, and that he can just go anywhere he wants and just... It's the Paul Pogba show, which it is, and I can't deny that. This is a new brand of football, but I have to say, very disappointed in Paul P, and Mourinho has all right to drop him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to drop him, because I don't think you're going to put a player on that bench that's better than he is, but, I mean, more of it. Here, what Ian Wright said, they had a brilliant result against Burnley and had a chance to calm it down, but Pogba stirred it up again. I'm getting tired of it myself. I need him to get on with playing. And that's basically it, guys, is because the transfer window is closed. The only thing you do now is, like, feed the discord and the division within the team. Does no good being one of our star players and just talking this much to the media about you leaving. It's just not helpful. And
not like I'm focused on playing well for Manchester United. We're focused on trying to win everything we possibly can. Like,
that's Lukaku saying. That's what Matic is
like,
saying.
Oh, if you don't see me in a Barcelona shirt, it's because I'm at United.
Yeah,
it's like, that's not how you want to say things. You want to just put it to bed and say, look, you know, next summer is next summer, but right now I am a Manchester United player. I'll bleed red. I will do everything to win everything I can for the club. And he is not captain material. Per that, James Stretford on Twitter, at James Stretford, pretty immature comments from Pogba, not at all captain material. He still hasn't shown anything to suggest he's a 90 million pound player, inconsistent and never plays 3 straight games with the same performance, concentration, or effort. It just makes his comments even less justifiable. And man, the way he's played for United, in those four games, half of the games he played well, half he didn't, you know, and when he doesn't, he plays really poorly. So it's just inconsistency and a lot of drama. Welcome to Pog Drama, sir.
Well, he certainly didn't look like he was enjoying the Burnley game. He looked fucking miserable playing. He didn't have the great game. He didn't have a bad game. We did win, which is what matters. But
he had a few good passes to Big Luke.
No, he didn't. He switched the play well, but like he certainly like he. It looks like he had to remind himself to run sometimes. Like he'd be jogging, and then he like would remember, oh, I got to sprint.
Yeah, you know that penalty run up sums it all. At Cantona Mank on Twitter, towards the end of his United career, Ronaldo almost earned the right to flirt with Madrid. He was dynamite. On the other hand, who the fuck does Pogba think he is, putting his arse in the air for Barcelona? Ronaldo won a silverware. Pogba can't even win a tackle.
There you go.
There you go. Slate him, mate. And in the number one quote this week on Twitter comes from United Extra. And, of course, the legendary Sir Alex Ferguson said it best. And so there's not much more we need to say. Quote, there are occasions when you have to ask yourself whether certain players are affecting the dressing room atmosphere, the performance of the team, and your control of the players and staff. If they are, you have to cut the cord. There is absolutely no other way. It doesn't matter if the person's the best player in the world. The long-term view of the club is more important than any individual, and the manager has to be the most important one at the club.
Uh-oh.
Well said, Sir Alex. That is all you need to hear.
Uh-oh.
Regarding this Pog drama. And ultimately, I think the Jose wanted him gone because of this. Because now we have a full season of this. You got to start him because he's that good of a player. Won the World Cup. You have to play him. And he wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah,
so it's going to hurt the team.
You're acting like he's more important than the club, right? And based on the... If it's true that Mourinho wanted him gone, the board wouldn't sell him, that shows that, you know what, we're putting this player over the wishes of our manager. The manager knows, I know what I need to win, and I know I need to have a team where there's not some cancer. I'm not saying he's there yet, but he's evolving into a cancer in the team.
He was pretty shit towards the end of last season. And
no, I'm talking about the attitude, more so than his performance, right?
No, I'm saying like both. He had a last year he had a shit attitude.
He's starting this year with the worst attitude.
Came back to United this year after winning the World Cup and just shit attitude. And it's just, there's only one player that's probably earned this right, and that's Messi. That's the only player that I think that you could say might be more important would be Messi to Barcelona.
I mean, Ronaldo.
But yeah, Ronaldo
got Real Madrid.
He got dealt, and, you know, but Messi looks like he wants to retire at Barcelona. He's probably bigger than the manager. But Paul Pogba is short of a few Ballon d'Ors to Messi.
Champions Leagues.
Yeah, exactly.
Or leagues or anything.
So at this point, Pogba, I say, see ya. And then fans got to start realizing that short of us winning the league or the Champions League or some amazing turnaround in the relationship with Mourinho and Paul P, he's probably out the door next summer to Barcelona. And the good news is, we'll get $200 million to spend on players who want to play for Manchester United. So I do think at the end of the day, it's good for both parties if he really wants to leave and isn't happy here, and we can get a big price tag. So.
I mean, just a conspiracy theory for a second. He might try and like completely harpoon the season so they fire Mourinho, bring in his boys, like a boy like Zidane, and that might keep him around, right? Like, you don't know what's going on now, and that's what worries me based on the fact that he keeps talking shit.
But
it's a very bad sign.
You think the manager would... I think it's very dangerous if you fire Mourinho, and you have to pay him a lot of money, you bring in someone you hope Pogba likes, and then you think he's going to change his attitude like this. I think you're just... It's kind of like when you're dating a chick who's a little out of line. It's like, she's not going to get back in line all of a sudden. It's just better to cut bait and walk away, especially when Barcelona wants to pay $220 million, something like that, right? That's what I think. If you have a shit attitude, you have a shit attitude.
He'll always have a shit attitude. He'll always be like a fucking Suarez, you know, but at least Suarez is a player and just like unbelievable. And Pogba can't justify his behavior yet. I'm not saying you should ever be an asshole, but some guys can be an asshole, right? Some guys can be a Robin or a Vidal because they're studs.
It's about being a professional.
Yeah, it's about winning, dude.
Day,
it's about winning.
It's about being a professional. Like Lukaku is a professional.
Consummate.
Like, for what's the difference between Lukaku and Pogba?
Lukaku's humble,
Mourinho
dude.
Has
that's
treated
the
them
that's
both.
The difference between the two of them.
I'm sure Mourinho's treating them both the same. You look at Luke Shaw, what he has to say about Mourinho now versus last season. He's like, I was right. The manager was right to slate me. He gave me tough love. And you know what? I turned it around, and now we're better for it.
And I probably need it.
Guess what?
That's what he said. I probably need
Paul Pogba got the same tough love, and he wants to blow up the club and ruin our season for it. And there's no excuses, sir. No excuses. But hey, enough pog drama for a few pods on this one. I can't wait for this to be over.
Is that a promise?
No.
It's gonna be, this, coming back.
This is going to be... I knew all, it, sir. After all the year. World Cup, I speculated after the World Cup that Pogba would come back and just be like a mess. And I think I was right. Unfortunately, at the time, I think you did say I was overstating it a little bit, but Pogba has a dangerous ego, and man, it is out of control, right?
Well, I don't think anyone predicted, I mean, maybe you did predict this, but I also don't know if you predicted how much he would be continuing to stir the pot.
Oh, I could have predicted that.
It got worse, dude. He wasn't doing this over the summer. He generally kind of kept his mouth shut, and then as soon as the Premier League starts back up, he's been poking that bear.
To me he's like trying to win in some sort of war of words with Mourinho, and he just doesn't realize you both have the same goal, which is to win. But Pogba wants to win and slate Mourinho or lose and slate. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It seems like he has ulterior motives here, and Raiola is the one behind the scenes, and I don't trust that motherfucker at all. All right, United in the news. Manchester United post job advert looking for transfer specialist after summer troubles, sir. This per ESPN, have you applied yet?
Sir, I don't know if I'm qualified to do it, and I don't know if I I don't know if I want to put the club's future prospects as it relates to transfer specialities on me, sir.
I'm not I'll be submitting my application.
You should, sir. Manchester winters are nice and long.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. Easy, you know, you just buy Griezmann, Mbappe.
No problem.
Varane.
Yeah. Who else?
Modric.
Yeah. Done. We won.
Yeah, it's easy. So I don't know why they can't just hire me right now.
Football manager, mate.
Next article. Van der Sar rules out Manchester United role. That's right. Great Edwin Van der Sar has appeared to rule himself out of running for the new technical director role at Old Trafford per Sky Sports. That's a shame. Big fan of Van der Sar. But again, what do keepers know about outfield players? kind of that would be a weird one for him to be the technical director.
Well, he's I think he's doing a pretty senior position at Ajax right now, and I think he's got a long history with that club. Certainly has a track record of finding cheap talent, but I get what you're saying. I also think like he's trying to be loyal to the team that's already given him a good spot. So we'll see who we get, dude. We'll see who we get.
Sir Alex is coming back. I heard he's healing up. Let's see. Cantona. Next article. Cantona. Pep. Or me over Jose. Eric Cantona says Jose Mourinho is not the right man for Manchester United and would much rather have Pep Guardiola or himself in charge per Sky Sports. This is kind of strange because a few weeks ago, Cantona was saying, you know, back the club. He came out with all this like rhetoric, back the club, stay with the team and the manager, I believe. So it's kind of strange. He's departing from this. Maybe he wants to be in the headlines a little more. But I can't. You can't just say, "Oh, I'd rather have Pep Guardiola at Manchester United
or me."
before last season, no one said that. No one wanted that.
You don't think anyone wanted Pep at Manchester United?
His first season for Manchester City was not particularly a good one, right?
No, they didn't.
Right?
They
had Bravo and Ned. They playing out the back didn't work out. There were a lot of questions about him. Obviously, last season kind of dispelled all those questions, but, you know, it's down the Champions League in the league, so Pep Guardiola isn't he's not the savior yet. Jose Mourinho has won more EPL titles than him, and, you know, Pep did it with a great Barcelona team. I have to give him credit, but I don't really like Pep Guardiola.
He's a shitbag.
I don't necessarily like Jose Mourinho either, but Pep Guardiola just seems like even more smug with those like big old scarves on the sidelines. I watched part of that City documentary, and he's just like...
It's like unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. He's like literally like a maniac, like insane person. Maybe you have to be insane to be great at football. But long are the days... that I wait for another manager with the pragmatism like Sir Alex. Seems to be like the Warren Buffett of football, always shrugged off the short term, focused on the long term, could change his strategy before any other manager.
Unfortunately, it's not a long term game anymore, sir. It's all short term. It's all reactionary. It's all one week to the next.
Yeah, but the reason why United was different was because of their long term vision, and clearly that long term vision, the board didn't think about after he retired. And it's literally been, it's gone by the wayside of sacking managers, different transfer strategies that are inconsistent, no cohesive vision for the team. And we have paid the price. And, you know,
we continue to pay the price, sir.
If you would ask me after we won that league title, 12-13, how long it would take to win the next one, I would have said under 10 years for sure. And it's probably close to around then. What do you think?
I mean, we'll see, sir. I don't know. That's hard to say.
Do you see it's turn? I mean, like, we're already at this point in the season.
We're already 6 years away from that. I think we should be able to win in the next 4 years, which is not United style, but dude, the whole club is revolved around one man that basically like brought us back to greatness over 26-year reign. And the people in charge were a bunch of fucking dunces, right? You had these like American buyout idiots that basically just said like, oh, just let this guy, he knows what he's doing, just ride him. And as soon as he's gone, bro, and it's still just a money-making operation, they don't have the football smarts behind it, right? The club suffered, and it's continuing to suffer, bro. And it's like they're finally putting in a director of football now, 6 years later.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Something about this club that the picture of it has kind of crystallized for me is that, you know, without Sir Alex, it's really a shell of an organization. He kind of was the club and became the club for that extended period of time, turned it into what it is now, the following, the worldwide following it has. But, you know, I'm a member every year, and when I get those membership kits, I look forward to it like Christmas morning. And every year, the gifts in those membership kits gets cheaper and cheaper, and it's almost like that is the way of the club. Like, instead of, you know, connecting with their loyal fan base, investing in the team, investing in the footballing operations, they just invest in the commercial side of the business. It's become about making money, and that product is what you see on the field. And it sucks for, you know, every fan around the world that tunes in every week, you know, and watches all the games to see that shit of a product on the field. And in the last 6 years, the club has made record amounts of money. And this summer, go no further than this summer to see how much money they spent. And it is laughable what they have done to this team, especially given the margin that we lost the league last year. It's something that I really can't get over, and something I wish the fans could make the management accountable for. But, you know,
well, flying their banners, you know, I don't know how much that's going to do. The only way you're really going to affect anything is by voting with your pocketbooks. But, dude, who's going to want to not watch Manchester United just because they're pissed at the board? I'm certainly never going to turn off Manchester United because I'm mad at the board. But it's tough, man, because we're all going to keep paying, buying jerseys, going to games, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. It's like the club is ultimately run by a bunch of idiots who like know how to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but why can't you make a shit ton of money and run the
greatest
football?
You can if you're smart.
So the whole point is you're going to ruin the best business you've ever had by having a shit footballing operations and, you know, not caring about the fans or you know, investing in your team every year. It's like they have to buy every year because they owe the fans the excitement of bringing in the best talent in the world. You can't just be like, oh, we lost by 19 points. We're good. Like,
by one midfielder and a prospect.
We don't see value in the market, even though we're the most valuable team in world football. And guess what? You won't be the most valuable team in world football at this rate. If you look at Liverpool, look at Inter Milan.
And we're not running Watford.
Look at AC Milan.
We're not running
look
Watford,
at these great
bro.
Teams.
We're not running Fulham. We're running Manchester United. Like, you don't need to always see value in the league in order to buy someone. Sometimes you have to just buy a player because you need them in order to win.
The jerseys alone would subsidize most of the purchase price, first of all. That's what people don't even understand. Like, the amount of money that they bring in every single
of money,
year,
sir.
They can
we
offset
more money
all
than anybody
stuff,
else.
And it's, I don't know. It's just, it speaks volumes of the clowns that are running this team right now. And despite the clowns running the team, and this is another mystery, is amazingly, four Manchester United players have made the FIFA Pro and FIFA list of 55 professional footballers who received the most votes from their peers, and that is from, all the votes are from a pool of 25,000 professional footballers from 65 countries in the vote for the FIFA FIFA Pro World 11. That is David De Gea, Nemanja Matic, Paul Pogba, and Romelu Lukaku. So with
and
that
three
talent,
and three were signed by Mourinho. Just saying.
Yeah. No, true. I mean, well, Paul Pogba, you know.
Well, he was, but Matic
was. He probably made it because of the performances for France, not for United, unfortunately, right? And that goes without saying. But we have four.
He deserves to be on that list. If you look who's on that list, he deserves to be on that list.
Those are, I would say, Matic is kind of coming towards the end, but those three, world-class. So you have those three players, and we're not a threat in the Champions League? We had
not a
John
defender
O'Shea.
On that list, bro. There's not a defender on that list.
We had John O'Shea, and we were winning Champions League
games.
Yeah,
we had Nemanja Vidic and Rio Ferdinand, which was like the best center-back pairing probably the Premier League era, like one of the best ever. Those two were fucking beasts, and you need to have a defender on that list if you're going to challenge, right? Because every other good team, Real Madrid, Barcelona, PSG, they have defenders on that list. We have no defenders on that list.
Hey, we have a central...
we have a goalie.
We have a central midfielder who is defensive-minded in Matic. So there you go, sir.
Same thing.
Enough lamenting about the old days, but it does... You know, it's going to be a theme this year, and I don't think we're Arsenal. I think it's the comparison is more Liverpool 24 years ago. It's probably more along those lines where it's really organizational and somehow transitioning from success and trying to bridge the gap between Sir Alex and the next manager is proving to be more difficult than we could have ever imagined. And the board has all the blame. The board has all the blame. Unfortunately, we can't vote him out. Jumping into fan questions, sir, from Jamie in Manchester, Connecticut. What probability do you give Paul Pogba leaving in January versus figuring his shit out and staying for many more years? I would say January or next summer. What percentage you give versus him?
Well, January versus next summer is totally different proposition, right? January would be like something's really
bad. January versus many more years, right? So if he leaves, it's most likely going to be next summer.
Yeah, most likely.
Right.
Yeah,
so you're going to say if Pogba leaves, will he leave or will he fulfill his contract? I think is probably what percentage would you put that at right now, sir?
I would put 25% chance he stays and figures his shit out, 75% chance he's gone next summer.
Yeah. I mean,
it's bad. It's bad. It wasn't that a month ago, but based on all these convos, he's skunking, dude. And you work.
I knew after he won the World Cup, he gave no mention to Manchester United. He won the World Cup. It was almost like he didn't even play for Manchester United. And then he came back and there was like silence from him. He didn't say, I'm glad to be back. No post on social media with Lingard like, hey, I'm happy to be back at Carrington. Or there was like nothing. He was silent. I think that shows his intentions. I think his agent in the press shows his intentions. I think it's him and Mourinho. Unfortunately, I know most people would side with Pogba versus Mourinho. But at the end of the day, not having respect for your manager and being an unprofessional player, you know, there's no excuse for that at the end of the day. Sir, I got to say it's probably the same, 25%, even less. I mean, it would take us winning the Champions League for him to stay or something like this, winning the league,
yeah.
Him and Jose making up. But he just doesn't seem like the guy. Like Luke Shaw, credit to Luke Shaw for his character, admitting that he was wrong, coming back from adversity with his manager and proving the haters like wrong. And Luke Shaw did it. Why can't Pogba do it? So there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance. 25%.
Maybe one of them, dude. Maybe one. I mean, I isolated Luke Shaw back and forth, but he totally turned around, showing the right attitude, saying the right things to the press, and he looks like one of our best players.
But what does Pogba not understand? It's if he focused on football and played well and stopped this bullshit in the press, Mourinho would praise him.
I mean, Shaw's not being linked to Barcelona, whereas Pogba is. It's gone to his head,
bro. Is Barcelona
bro?
That much better? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, they're better than us.
I mean, how far did they go in the Champions League last year? I mean,
how far did we go?
They went farther than us, but at the same time, they're not the Barcelona of old, right? And
they're not, and they're also
Madrid
pretty
seems
poorly
like the more
club.
Attractive team to go to, actually. It just seems to me it always has to be about the Pogba show, and Raiola always wants to get paid, and if he's going to listen to Raiola, who got $40 million from when we signed him, which is insane.
He'll get even more next time.
He'll get even more next time. So, hey, at least we're not going to sell him for a loss, right?
Unless he gets hurt, he's not going to be a Di Maria, right?
But Pogba leaving, like, does it affect Lingard? No. Does it affect Rashford? No. Does it affect Lukaku? No. Does it affect all these other great players who want to play for Manchester United, like Herrera, No, it does not. Like, De Gea is going to hopefully re-up his long-term deal. I think the team is fine without Paul Pogba. I actually think, per Fergie's quote, the dressing room would be better without him because he seems to... He's friends with all the players, but he's kind of like anti-manager, anti-team. And this has got to be bad for the youngsters when he comes back from international duty and is kind of starting all this drama, right? It can't be good for the locker room or the attitude of the team.
It's not. And that's, you know, it has to be bad enough that Mourinho wanted to get rid of him because it's such a negative impact on the dressing room. So if he wants to sell a star player at 25 who's got all the potential in the world to be one of the best in the game, then he must have a really shit attitude, right? It's like, he must have a really shit attitude.
Well, it's like high beta. It's risky because he's such a personality, you know, that...
Most marketable player in the world, right? He was rated that last week. The most marketable soccer player in the entire world. More than Messi.
Because he doesn't care about football. You know,
cares about his hair.
Hey, he cares about the color of his hair. He cares about these adverts. He cares about dancing. He cares about dabbing.
Making money probably too.
Hey, it's a shame, but such is the days of Manchester United. We have a big game against Watford. Let's hope Pogba comes back. Scores a brace, kisses the badge, kisses Mourinho.
What's the probability he's on the bench after these quotes? Ooh, well, there's a question.
I don't think there's a chance.
0% chance?
If I was the manager, I think the board... You have to think that Woodward and Jose apparently patched it up. And this has to piss off the board, too.
It must.
And if Jose's fallen in line and he's taken the high road with Pogba, he's playing the football that everyone wants to see... And he's playing with the team, the resources the board gave him, which is a shit defense, which they said wasn't shit. That I have to think it's probably Pogba versus Mourinho and Ed Woodward, because if Woodward and the board are seeing this player kind of acting out in this way, that's not good. That's just not good. Pogba's going to isolate himself more, and I could see him getting the bench. I could basically see him, you know, training by himself towards the end of the season if he continues down this road.
Yep.
And he wants that move, and if he wants it in January, he could be training by himself sooner rather than later. But it's all up to Pogba. It's not up to Mourinho. Mm. It's not up to Woodward. It's up to Paul Pogba. Does he want to play for the team? Does he want to bring it every week and show his attitude? If he starts jogging around the pitch, playing like shit, more comments, he'll be training by himself.
Sir.
And that's like, not something you want to see. It's a lot
like,
of money.
It's like mid to early September. This season is already dragging.
It's already dragging, but hey, fuck the Pog drama. We got Watford away. We got to focus on 3 points. We got some great players, like we said, David De Gea, Nemanja Matic, and Romelu Lukaku. Those are the world beaters. They are united till they die. And, you know, obviously we got Alexis Sanchez as well. So we don't need Paul Pogba. We can get another midfielder in. Get a Kroos or a Modric, somebody who wants to come play, win some trophies, someone who's a little more humble. Let's go down that road. What do you think, sir?
Certainly have enough coin to throw around after the sale. So, sir, we're going to find out. We're finding out right now, actually. You know. So,
either way, I'll be donning the mighty red shirt. Sir, you got a new Cantona jersey you're showing off. So we will be getting our coffees ready, watching United, cheering us on. 3 points or bust. Watford away. We're turning around. We're going to win the league. You heard it right here. But as always, we'll be kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.
Oh! Joe.